Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with him who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to his word, shall we? Father, we look to you this morning. Lord, this is something we do every year. We talk about your resurrection. Lord, I pray again that this not be just a time when we kind of put ourselves on neutral. Lord, touch each of our hearts. Lord, may we see something in Jesus' resurrection that we've never seen before. Lord, may this be a good time of being with you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The body resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. The resurrection isn't a postscript or an epilogue or the ending in the life of Christ. It's the culminating climax of his atoning work. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, "For what I received I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." In the book of Acts, the theme of the apostles' preaching and teaching was the resurrection. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they're speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Later in verse 33, we read, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and much power was upon them." The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is whom he claimed to be, that he is the very Son of God. Romans 1:4 says, "Christ Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Without the resurrection, the cross would be meaningless. There'd be no hope of salvation from sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." He went on to write that because Jesus has risen, believers have hope both for this life and the life to come. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he affirmed that Jesus had indeed carried our sins in his own body on the cross. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Romans 4:25 says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." The church meets every Sunday, not Saturday, not Friday, because Easter, as well as every other Sunday, stands as a validation of Good Friday, of Jesus' death. All four Gospels report on the events surrounding Jesus' resurrection. Each writer includes something unique that the others have left out. They each have some of the basic information, that Jesus died on the cross on Friday afternoon, was buried that evening, that he remained in the tomb all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, when the women arrived to anoint the body with burial spices, the tomb was empty. Their confusion turned to wonder and alarm when the angels appeared and explained to them that Jesus was alive. And after that, Jesus appeared to his followers. In particular, Luke's account begins with the grief-stricken women on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. The Jews begin their day at sundown rather than at midnight. So for them, the Sabbath ended on Saturday evening around 6 p.m. Mark says that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Luke added that Joanna and the other women were also there. This may have also included Mary, Jesus' mother. Luke 23, verse 55 said, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They must have watched Joseph and Nicodemus wrap Jesus' body with spices. And as Matthew says, they watched as Joseph placed the body in his new tomb. And then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance and went away. But the women wanted to prepare their own spices to anoint Jesus their Lord to demonstrate their love for him. So they purchased spices sometime after sundown in order to make the trip to the tomb early Sunday morning. In their grief-stricken minds, they gave no thought to how they had moved the stone once they got to the tomb. According to John's account, Mary Magdalene impatiently hurried ahead of the rest of the women and arrived first at the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She immediately assumed that someone had stolen Jesus' body and ran to tell the 11. It never crossed her mind that Jesus had risen from the dead. In John 20, verse 2, we read that she said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. Following behind Mary, Mark says that the other grieving women ask each other, who will roll the stone away from in front of the tomb? They weren't expecting any kind of miracle. They weren't even aware that the religious leaders had it sealed on Saturday and that a detachment of Roman soldiers were guarding it. They also weren't aware of the earthquake that had occurred earlier that morning or the arrival of the angel who rolled the stone back and it would frighten the guards. But when they arrived, they realized that they'd been anxious for nothing. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Since in his resurrection body, Jesus could pass through walls without needing a door. The stone was moved, but it was moved so that others could get in. The tomb was open so the woman could enter and see that Jesus was not there. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The women were standing in or perhaps just inside the tomb, shocked, wondering, or as other translations put it, perplexed. Jesus' body was gone. And suddenly they went from being puzzled to being terrified. As they stood there in the morning light trying to figure out what had happened to the body, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Matthew and Mark mention only one of the two angels that we see here. They mention the one that gave the message. Dressed in dazzling clothing, the women recognized these two as angelic messengers. Luke wrote that in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. In a mild rebuke, the angels rebuked the women. The men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. More than once, Jesus had told his followers that he would suffer and die and be raised from the dead. They should have been expecting it, but they didn't. So they brought spices with which to anoint his dead body. After the angel's reminder, the women did remember Jesus' words. Matthew adds a little bit more about this account of the women. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Begin in verse 5. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified." Verse 6 of Matthew 28. "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.' Now, I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And obedient to their commission from the angels and from their Lord, the grief-stricken women became the witnessing women. While Peter and John were on their way to investigate Mary Magdalene's report that Christ's body was missing, the rest of the women came back from the tomb to the nine apostles and confirmed Mary's report that the tomb was empty. They also filled in some of the details that Mary hadn't seen. Mary hadn't looked into the tomb and didn't see either the grave clothes or the angels. The women were told the men the words of the angels that the Lord was indeed risen, just as he had said. They must have also told of their encounter with the risen Lord himself, whom they'd just seen on the way back. That the resurrected Christ appeared first to women, elevated women, who were held in an inferior position in Jewish society. It was a testament to their love, their devotion, their courage. They'd witnessed his death at Calvary, his burial. They'd seen the empty tomb. Of all the apostles, John is the only one recorded having been at the cross. But he didn't witness the burial. Joseph and Nicodemus buried the Lord's body. They didn't see the empty tomb. Only the women had been there for all of it. At first glance, Mary Magdalene perhaps seems out of place in this group of witnesses. But after her personal account with Jesus at the tomb, John records that Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Like the other women, Mary Magdalene had also seen the Lord. There were the women. There were the angelic messengers, and finally, there were the unbelieving disciples. Sadly, but predictably, the disciples did not believe the women because the words seemed to them like nonsense. The apostles were totally skeptical. Such a thing had never happened before. Even when the women they knew well told them of their experience, the apostles refused to believe. Only irrefutable evidence would convince these skeptics. Luke then added a brief note about Peter and his visit to the tomb with John, which happened before the other women and Mary Magdalene returned. After Mary Magdalene's first report, you may remember that Peter, along with John, got up and ran to the tomb. John outran him and got there first, but he didn't go inside. Peter arrived and, bending over, he saw the strips of linen by them lying by themselves. Puzzled, but not yet sure what to make out of it, Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation from sin. The grief-stricken women wanted to anoint Jesus' body to show their love, and they definitely weren't expecting any kind of miracle. The stone was moved so that others could get in and see that the body was missing. And the women entered and did not find Jesus' body. The two angels rebuked the women. They should have been expecting the resurrection. Jesus had told them several times. After being reminded, the women did remember what Jesus had said. And Jesus appeared to first to the women. The apostles were totally skeptical. And after seeing the empty tomb, Peter was still puzzled. As we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not optional. But no supernatural happening, such as the resurrection, can ever be proved by natural evidence. It can only be inferred by physical facts that are consistent with such an event. Neither empirical evidence nor intuitive reasoning can really verify truths such as the creation, the incarnation, or the resurrection. Like the first readers of the Gospel of Luke, we have only to report some eyewitnesses to confirm that the resurrection happened. No scientific proof. God's word is the basis for our belief. The lives, the gruesome deaths of those early Christians are testimonies, undeniable proof of their belief in what they had seen and what they had believed. This is what we base our hope, our faith on. Intellectual acknowledgement of the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection is necessary to be saved. But in itself, such knowledge is not sufficient to save us. Satan was there. He knows. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." But if one is going to take advantage of God's gift of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then as Romans 10:9 says, you must declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then you'll be saved. Saving faith goes beyond a mental affirmation or confirmation of the facts. It must change one's heart for love for Christ and a submission of a person's will in obedience to Jesus Christ as sovereign Lord of one's life. Salvation includes submitting to Jesus Christ as Lord. For believers, the fear of death is removed, and the hope of glory is assured by Jesus' resurrection. He's conquered the grave, and he's promised the same victory to all who embrace him in saving faith. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. Verses we often read at funerals, at cemeteries sometimes. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One commentator put it this way: the resurrection of Jesus Christ announced that he has conquered every enemy. He has vanquished every foe. He has risen triumphant from the grave. Neither death nor life, neither hell nor anything else can prevent or delay the coming of his kingdom in all of its glory. He alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For Christians, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our symbol of hope. Whatever may happen to us in this life, we know the rest of the story. If the Lord tarries, we shall all die, but we shall all rise again. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and will come again to take us to be with him. We shall see him face to face. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." So the question, I guess, is this: on what? On whom do you base your faith of life after death? When it comes time for you to leave this earth, however it may be, where will you spend eternity? If you were to stand before Peter at a golden gate, which isn't going to be there. And we're standing there at that gate and say, why should you be led into heaven? What is your answer? If it's anything other than Jesus Christ died for my sins, you won't be allowed in. Is he your Lord and your Savior? Let's pray. Lord, we celebrate Easter. Even the flowers in the front, Lord, remind us of Easter lilies this morning. And Lord, sometimes I think it's something we do every year, so it kind of becomes old habit. We kind of forget what it really means to each one of us. But Father, Jesus' resurrection is the proof that all that he said in the Gospels, all that the Bible says is true. Lord, help us to walk as you'd have us to walk. Help us each to make you our Savior and our Lord. Lord, may we be the children that you would have us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn as we get ready for